capacity to be sent maybe internationally. So it'd be very easy to think that as a church, it'd be very easy to have an attitude that we outsource our missions to professional missionaries and we don't have to think about it. The truth of the matter is we are all missionaries. We are all have the responsibility to share the gospel in our spaces and places. And our international missionaries are like our A squad, okay? I use a football analogy. I'm really bad at sports. I'm sorry. You and I, we're the JV team. But today, we are privileged to have with us a linebacker from the, say, I don't know, what's a good sports team? The Lions? No. Although, we had a good week, did we not? It's the Lions' year. No, it's not. It never is. Anyway, but imagine you're on a JV team and you have an NFL linebacker come to give you a pep talk and share with you some tips and strategies for sharing your faith. That is a high privilege, and we look to our missionaries that we support as our heroes in missional living. And so we're excited this morning to have Tim Wright with us. It's been a while, Tim, since you've been here, hasn't it? Yeah. 2017, since Tim's, we were excited to have him here. Tim serves as a, he served for many years in West Africa as a field director for missions there. But now they are in a far, far away place that many of you have never heard about called Canada. They serve in Quebec, Canada. He does media and education and church planting and does a lot of recording and radio ministry and stuff like that. So I'm going to let Tim come and share a little bit more about his ministry. But would you guys help me welcome Tim to the stage today?
Sometimes I feel like an old linebacker. After I drove 14 hours yesterday, I got out of the car. I was like, ugh. Anyways, it's a big privilege to be here with you guys. I don't know if I had these last time I was here. Now I do this thing all the time. It's a great privilege to be with you here today. I'm going to attempt to do the impossible, which is to cover about the last 5 or 6 years in 30 minutes or so. And so bear with me. I'm going to go through a lot of stuff. I don't know. Do I save time for questions at the end? Or maybe if you want, you can see. I'll be at the table afterwards. But anyways. I'm going to try to cover a lot of ground in the next few minutes. Now, which way do I point this thing? Up here or over there? Okay, maybe I don't got it turned on. There we go. Joosh. Okay, so our family has grown a little bit, believe it or not. There's one young man on the far left side that doesn't match the rest of the team. That is Nadia's husband, Brandon, so we added him to the team this year. But we took this picture on Christmas Day. I was like, we got to do a new prayer card. Our other one's like too old. And the guy that took our picture, I don't know if you can tell, there were really big snowflakes coming down. And that photographer, he went and photoshopped all of the snowflakes out in front of our faces so we didn't look all frosty, too bad. But that's the team. Brendan on the far right, it works up in Midland. He does client services for, I think, Western Star Trucks. Rebecca works in Midland at Community Center. Nadia just got a job at Merrill Public Schools. So those are my folks that are here in Michigan. The rest of us are all up in Quebec. Anna, who is next to Brendan, she works in Pont Rouge, where we live now. Johnny in the middle is at the college, junior college. Victoria just started at Parole de Vie in Sherbrooke, which is Word of Life Sherbrooke. Let's see, who am I missing here? Okay, then... Elsie May in the middle is in her senior year, and she's probably going to do a gap year and figure out what she wants to do with her life, and then she might end up at Miracle Mountain Ranch, which is where in Pennsylvania where Anna went for a year, and then Mary is in like ninth grade of high school, and then, of course, Nadia and Brandon and Rochelle and I. So, if you recall, as Pastor mentioned, this is sort of a change of worlds for us. We were very happy to serve in West Africa. It's kind of interesting in our flight plan, our missionary road trip. We started in Quebec for language school, and then we went to Niger, and then in God's grace, he was allowed us to go back to Quebec. So I figure we're pretty freeze-dried, because we had frozen, then we were dried. So we should be preserved for quite a long time now. Ended up in Quebec City. What we saw God do some really neat things in the last 5 years, particularly. One is these guys down on the left. Those are our permanent residence card. I think they're basically the equivalent of a green card here in the States. But the first 4 or 5 years we were in Quebec, we had to renew our work permit. ABW Canada helped us to get a work permit up there, but that was always having to be renewed. And not about 3 years after we were there in Canada, we were able to get our permanent residency cards. And that, I tell you, that really came in handy during COVID. We would have been totally stuck like everybody else, except that we could come into the United States on our U.S. passports, and then we could get back into Canada on our permanent residency cards. So we thank God that he made that way for us, that we were able to see our family during that time. And that also allows us to do longer planning for long-term ministry. When we were relying on work permits, we never knew exactly how that would go every time to change those work permits. If you don't know what that is, I feel very sorry for you. This is one of the iconic images from Quebec. This is the Roche-Percée, or the Pierced Rock, which is at the far end of the Gaspé Peninsula. And Tim Hortons with some little Timbits, little donut, what do they call those, donut holes. I will let you in on a secret. We tried to get there at the sunrise. So this is in the middle of the summer. Sun comes up very early in Quebec in the middle of the summer. So the box is actually empty. They had not made the Timbits yet. But I got the coffee and I told the lady, I said, please, please give me a box. I just need the box so I can take this picture. And she did. It's very nice. Here's Elsie and Mary having a little cafe there at their school. They both Johnny and Elsie enjoy playing basketball, and their team won their division this, not last year, year before, I guess it would have been. They are at Living Water Christian School, which is where Rochelle ministers. They have about 500 kids this year, but I'm not going to steal Rochelle's thunder. She's going to talk to you in video here in a little bit. But they are the only Christian school in Quebec province in the French language. So we have a good little gang of people there at Quebec City. And as in here, they play all the public schools, no matter how big or how little they are. They have a team that they'll take, and they actually won their division that year. It's another beauty shot. Just to give you a brief glint, it was always interesting for me, going from Niger, West Africa, to Quebec. God has allowed me to fit into a very similar ministry to what we were involved in Niger, except it didn't look like that picture there. That's actually our studio in the garage behind there, and that's after one of the snowfalls. But I don't know if you recall when we visited, it was quite a few years ago, we were looking for a ministry opportunity up in Quebec City. And the thing I didn't know at the time is that this ministry, Aujourd'hui l'Espoir, which means hope for today or today's hope, they were praying for a technician. So I was looking, said, God, where are you going to take me? We're not going back to Niger now. If we still want to serve you, where are we going to go? So we ended up going back up to Quebec because we'd had some good contacts up there. And God put me in touch with a guy named Marcel Perron, who just recently passed away. And I walked in the guy's office and said, yeah, I'm a missionary. I was working in West Africa. It doesn't look like we're going back there now, but we still want to serve. Could you guys use a guy to record sound and do editing, video editing? And the guy just gave me a big open arm hug and said, yes. Now, he didn't tell me later. He didn't tell me till later that they had been praying for somebody to come help them. So that's one of the neat things that we see God do all the time is just bring paths together for people. So I serve at Aujourd'hui Espoir as the production director. I'm going to, in just a second, show you a video that is going to talk a little bit about Aujourd'hui Espoir. It's all in French. Lucky you guys. But we did subtitle it. Hopefully the subtitling's big enough for you. But it's going to talk about a little bit why do we do media the way we do in 2023. And I tell you, media doesn't stay the same either. We're constantly trying to adapt to what we do to reach younger generation and people that media talks to in a different way. So we're going to go ahead and show that video. Otherwise, I'll end up repeating what is in the video. Folks that I have the privilege of working with day in, day out. It's great to be a part of a team because Eric was on there. He was the director. He takes care of a lot of the stuff I had to mess with in Niger that I don't have to mess with now, like paying the bills and phone bill and electric and all that stuff. But I get to do recording and production, and so it gives us a good team to work with. I got a lady that helps produce scripts and things like that, and it's great to try to work in team. Any of you guys take French in high school? Okay. I was going to say that might give you a little PTSD because that French probably doesn't sound like what you learned, but I don't know, maybe it did. This is Simon Ouellette. Pray for Simon. He is our host for our TV show, and he is a little under the weather right now. This was Bertrand Marco, which was our French voice for Dr. David Jeremiah program we record. And he is stepping down now. We have another guy that's going to be taking his place. So pray for that program that will be able to continue. We have done several video series. In Niger, we did more things like the Jesus film and recording the Bible on audio tape. Up in Quebec, we do more like doubling. What do you call that when you put a voiceover, dub over? Dubbing. We do more dubbing of like devotional series and discipleship series. So we've done the Alpha video series, and we did Tetelestai, which means, any Greek people, Greek scholars out here? What does Tetelestai mean? You get the big prize if you can. Tetelestai is, it is finished. It's what Christ said on the cross. So Tetelestai was done by a mission down in Brazil, and we got the privilege to put it into French. And I'm going to just show you a little clip. It's the one that's called The Promise. And this is not a finished production, okay? You're going to hear the original English and sound effects and music. It's going to go out. You're going to hear the lady's voice in French, and it's going to go back to the English. So this is still being finished off. Match the French there. I would challenge you to take the word God and then take the word Dieu and make it match. It's not actually that easy. It's actually quite of a challenge. But we enjoy doing things like that. We'll go back to PowerPoint real quick here. And this is Charles Etienne and Claudia. There were our voices, our primary voices. And if you go online, I don't know, maybe. Yeah, this is their website. And that is at tetelestai.io. They've got a whole bunch of languages that they've done. And it's like 11, well, everything you see there. It's 11 episodes, basically through the Bible presentation of the gospel in different languages. I ask you to continue praying for our radio station, which is in Lachute. We put that station on the air about a year ago, and so now we have a broader reach for a lot of our locally produced programs, and we have four, I'm going to come back to some of this in a little bit, but we have four license applications in for repeater stations that we're going to take and duplicate that station signal on. So I'll ask you to pray for that. And I think I hit a bad button. There we go. Back up. Okay. This is the school where Rochelle ministers. This is their new high school building. And so this is Rochelle, director of their student services. She had a very interesting ministry entry, I guess you could say. Rochelle's an educator, but up in Quebec, she doesn't have her teaching license. She may get it someday, but her training is from Penn State in special education. So she has her bachelor's and master's. You know who the smart one is in our family, but she started out volunteering in the cafeteria, and then she started teaching English, and now she is actually one of the vice principals that takes care of all of the different student needs. From like, what do they call them, IEPs, like individual education programs for the kids that have education difficulties and behavior difficulties and things like that. She kind of gets to be the good cop and the bad cop for those kids. I did a bad thing, okay? I actually brought a camera home from the studio, and I set it up on the porch, and I said, Rochelle, you gotta give me like 5 minutes, because she's a very busy lady. Said, you got to record something, and you got to say hi to the folks back in Michigan. Tell them a little bit about what you do. And Rochelle's really good when she has people. You can remember when Rochelle was here in the past. She's really good up in front of people, and she really does a great job. You set her down in front of a camera, and she is not in her comfort zone. But I'm going to let her give you in her own words what she does from day to day.
Also a really good cook, too, so. Her part of Sunday morning, she makes like homemade donuts or muffins or all these things. So, anyways, people love to see her come.
Continue to pray for the school. Our enrollment requirements is that one of the parents has to make a profession of faith. It has to have a testimony that they're from a Christian family, or sometimes it's a grandparent. So we have lots of kids that come to the school that don't really quite know Christ as their Savior, but we have lots of opportunities, and Rochelle does, and her position, she gets to see the kids at their best point, and she gets the kids to see the kids at their lowest point. So she gets lots of time to opportunity to share the gospel and disciple with them. It's just inside of the hallway there in the secondary school. She talked just a little bit about the new church plant in Pont Rouge. Anybody knows what that means in English? Red Bridge. Okay, so you got a Red Bridge, North Dakota or something. Red Bridge, Quebec. This is just a picture of our little church plant. So right now we meet in the living room of Ben and Amy Gio, Ben and Amy Gio. So we meet in their living room. We've met in our living room a few times. At this point, we're about cracking the walls, okay? We're kind of watching to see how the Lord grows our little fellowship. We've been able to rent some community rooms a couple times, so we may go back to be able to do something like that. But we'd appreciate your prayers for our little church plant. Don't quite have a name yet, so you can keep praying for us. Praying some of the exact things that the pastor was talking about earlier. How do we reach out in the community where we're at, where God has placed us, and to be a lighthouse and to be a good neighbor and to show hospitality to people and then also have the opportunity to share Christ's love with them. This is just a picture of Port Neuf County. In that area, which in Michigan is about four counties, okay? So if you took four counties, regular-sized counties here in Michigan, that is Port Neuf County in Quebec, which is a little bit west of Quebec City. We had one evangelical church. So imagine if from here to, I don't know, Reed City somewhere, you had one church that was proclaiming the gospel. And we both, the Guillos and I, our family moved out to Pont Rouge, which is down here in the corner. And God just really led us in the last few years to begin trying to be a lighthouse in that area. And we're looking forward to seeing how God is going to grow that ministry. I will just finish with another answer of prayer. Now, this is the realtor photo, okay? This is what the photo looks in real life. Yeah, all right. Okay, so, yeah, we thank God for this house. It's got room for all of us. It has three bathrooms, which is wonderful. The river's actually out the back, so if we get to the point where we can baptize people, we can do that too. So that's our new address. But for the last few minutes, I was going to share a couple praises and some prayer requests with you and just ask you to pray for a couple things. I think I hit all the big points. Some praises. One was the house. We bounced around in some different houses and some apartments and things, and God allowed us this last 2 years ago about to purchase a house. We thank God for good health. We thank God for their permanent residency permits. We thank God for good partners, too. One of the things I love to do is to work in team with people. And we tried this in Niger. We also tried up in Quebec as missionaries. When you come into an area where God's already working and there's already churches, we try not to reinvent the wheel and start all over again. But God has given us some good partners to work with at Lviv, the Christian school, with the studio and the churches that are in the area. So we thank God for the different teams he's put us in there. One of the things I would mention as we move to prayer requests, pray for the health of our family. Pray for Rochelle's mom and dad. They're in their 70s now. They live in Lansing. So our heartstrings always get tugged back and forth when somebody takes a fall or somebody's in the emergency room. Believe it or not, we don't always get all the information. I don't know, sometimes I don't know if they want us to worry about it or what not to worry about it, but just pray for Rochelle. My parents have both passed away now, so I don't worry about them so much. They're doing good. Her family, they're older, and so she does worry about them, and sometimes I think the temptation is not to keep people up to speed when things are going bad because you don't want people to worry about it, but you can't pray, and if she had the opportunity and she knew that she needed to be home, she would be home. So just pray that we will be able to continue to be a part of their lives, even though we're up in Quebec.
Pray for our for plans for future ministry. Pray for our four applications for the repeater radio stations. And then our support actually did really good over the last few years. In the last, about the last 3 months, we've had a little bit of a drop, so we've got to work on reinforcing our support structure a little bit. So we ask you to pray for that. One thing I want to finish with, and it's just a little challenge I want to share with you. If you have your Bible or your telephone, that you can get to 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to touch on this real quick. And if we have a minute or two, I'll get to save some time for some questions. This idea of being a minister or being a missionary in our, wherever it is that God's placed us. And for you, it's here. For me, it's there. Get my Bible back. And I'm going to actually start about halfway through this chapter because the Apostle Paul says something really funny in the middle here. You ever have the idea that our neighbors and the people, I'm talking about people that aren't in the church and people that aren't saved, people that aren't look at us and say, those are the craziest people I have ever met. Those people are out of their minds. You ever see that happen? Like you're talking to somebody and they're just, you can see like the wheels turning, the smoke coming out of their head. Well, that's Christians, man. They're just the craziest people I've ever met. Paul actually says that. He says if we're out of our mind, as some say, it's for God. But on the other hand, we're trying to minister to you. We're trying to minister to each other. So hopefully when we talk to each other about the gospel and we try to encourage each other, we're in our right mind, right? Okay. Love what he says there. Then he talks about three things that have to do with our mission as Christians. And I'm just going to touch on a couple. And the Apostle Paul made it really easy here. We're going to talk about recognizing our mission, our motivation. What is our motivation for mission? And what is our message? So I told Pastor, if I can't say something in 15 minutes, I probably shouldn't say it. So this is going to go real quick for you, okay? And you don't have to take notes because it's going to be really easy. Recognizing our mission. This is what we're going to find in verse 18. So I'm going to skip around a little bit here. Verse 18. God makes it simple for us. He says, all of this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And then what did he do? He gave us this ministry of reconciliation, right? So he gives us the opportunity with our friends, with our families, to the people that are in our Jerusalem or in our area right around us, to be that voice, to be that lighthouse, to say, you know what? You don't feel like you have peace with God. You don't feel like things are exactly right. Let me tell you about the person that died on the cross to make it right. Let me tell you about a God that loves you. And he made this world, and he wants to have peace with you. So he gives us, God actually gave us this ministry of reconciliation. And if we go back a little bit, one of my verses that used to be my favorite verse, and it is, this is our, what is our motivation for ministry? And I'm going to go right over it because I'm in my phone here. Oh, verse 14. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all. And therefore all died. And he died for all that those which live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again. When I first read those verses quite a few years ago now, I used to think that was how much I love God motivated me to ministry. I'm like, man, I really love God. I mean, God saved me when I was a little tiny guy. And I used to be a little ashamed of my testimony because I didn't get into drugs and, you know, bank robberies and things like that. And I think, my God didn't really save me too much, you know. I was just a little guy. And then as I grew older, I realized that God saved me from a lot of stuff that I didn't have to live through and go through. And I realized that this passage is that when we recognize the work of Christ on the cross and the change that he can make in our lives, in the lives of our family, not our love for Christ, but seeing Christ's love for us, that should give us motivation. That should propulse us in ministry. I think that's an English word, to propulse us. And then at the very end of this chapter, we get to the message of the gospel. I love this because it just takes the whole thing and wraps it up in a little nutshell in verse 21. God made him who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might have become the righteousness of God. And we spend a lot of time as Christians, if we're involved, especially in outreach ministry, okay, how do we distill the gospel down to what does somebody have to know to be saved? You ever think about that? What is just the bare essential? The people we pray for, and we know they're going the wrong way, and we'd love to see them saved. What does that person have to know, but also accept in their heart? And the Apostle Paul gives us that right here, that Christ went to the cross for us. He took that place on the cross. He took our sins in the past and our sins in the future, and he died for them, and we can have reconciliation with Christ. And I thank God that the Apostle Paul had the ability to put that in such a concise form. When we think about our programs, we think about our little church plant, it helps us to plan, okay, what are we going to do now? So that people can hear that message. And we'll have opportunities to serve people, to show hospitality to people, and be winsome Christians. Be, I'm going to say attractive Christians, because some of us are probably not going to make that. But, you know, the gospel message has a way. The Holy Spirit has a way of working in people's hearts. That we as Christians, if we don't put too much, like, white noise in there and too much distraction in there, the gospel has power to save people. I'm going to just stop right here. I will be at the table, and I want to say again, it's a big privilege of ours to be your missionaries up in Quebec City. We were able to host a team from Ravenna not too long ago, and that invitation's still open to you to come up to Quebec and visit us. I think I will just, if there are people that have questions, I'll just invite them to come by the table. All right. Yes.